My guest today for Listen to This is Dr. Joanna Cowan-White. She is professor of flute at the CMU School of Music. We have heard from some of your colleagues about the viola, the tuba, the bassoon, the trumpet, the voice, and today everything that we've always wanted to know about the flute. And Joanna, you are certainly the right person for the job. So thanks for joining me today.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about maybe a little history of the flute.
Oh, sure. Well, the flute goes back to ancient times, about 35,000 years, actually, as
Wow.
we know, from art. But in the Middle Ages and Renaissance, there were simple wooden tubes of different sizes with finger holes. And it wasn't until the Baroque period, 1600 to 1750, that the flute acquired one key, one silver key, and then eventually more keys. But it reached its current state in 1832 when a jeweler, Theobald Böhm, made the modern key system. And it's amazing because professional flutes today are very similar to that 1832 flute, you know, a few little changes. But most modern flutes are made of silver or silver-plated or more expensive metals like gold. But we also, as you know, have the piccolo, the little flute. We have bigger flutes, the alto and the bass, and contrabass flute is been popular in the last decades also. That's the one that stands on the floor. It's so big. It's taller than I am.
Wow, that's something you don't see very often.
They're very popular in flute choirs. We have one at CMU in our flute choir.
Oh, nice. So before the silver flutes or gold flutes with the keys, it was a wooden tube with just holes in it, and the player would just cover the holes with their fingers?
Exactly.
So having the keyed flute certainly makes your life a little easier as a flutist, I would think.
A little bit.
What is the flute's job in an ensemble? It's a very high-pitched instrument, of course, but what is its function in the orchestra or the ensemble?
Well, the flute has been in ensembles from, you know, the Renaissance on, but I would say it can really join with any other instrumental timbre to provide, in my view, it provides an expressive element to any piece. And in the orchestra, it's been in the orchestra from the Baroque period to the modern. I was really lucky to study at Northwestern University, where we had a great deal of orchestral training. And I got mine with Chicago Symphony piccolo player Walfred Kujala. And now I get to apply all that training in my years as principal flutist in two orchestras, the Midland Symphony and the Saginaw Bay Orchestra. And then you asked about other ensembles. I also play in two chamber groups, the Crescent Duo with Ken and White clarinet, and then the Powers Woodwind Quintet, which I absolutely adore my colleagues and love playing with them. But you asked about the orchestra too, and I know one of the pieces that's most recognizable for flute, who often gets to play the bird, is Peter and the Wolf. Even children will know that little excerpt. And I think you have our Powers Woodwind Quintet recording of that orchestral piece, but we have the quintet version on Centaur Records with Sue Ann Martin narrating. And so I think you have that version with the flute being the bird.
Yes, let's listen to the bird from Peter and the Wolf, and you are playing the part of the bird. That was The Bird from Peter and the Wolf by Sergei Prokofiev, and that performance by the Powers Woodwind Quintet, made up of faculty members from the CMU School of Music. And the bird there was my guest today, Dr. Joanna Cowan-White. She is professor of flute at the CMU School of Music.
Well, thank you for playing that. In terms of orchestra, there's also, if when you think of flute, you would think of Debussy's L'après-midi d'un faune, Afternoon of a Faun, which is on a famous poem by Mallarmé. And it begins with flute alone to depict a languid summer afternoon. And I think you said that you have a Cincinnati symphony recording with Randy Bowman playing flute.
Yes.
And he's a flutist I heard when I was young in California when he visited a Julius Baker masterclass. And I loved his sound even back then.
So I'm going to guess that you've played this piece many times, too.
I have played that piece, yes, in my orchestras.
And what is it like to be the solo flutist there as that piece starts? How do you feel when you play that?
I try to create the magic of the setting, the scene, the poem. And so I try to put myself back in that place to make it easy to spin those lines.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. Let's listen to The Afternoon of a Faun with the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. They're conducted by Paavo Järvi, and the flutist here is Randolph Bowman. That was the prelude to Afternoon of a Faun by Claude Debussy, featuring the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, led by Paavo Järvi, the flutist there, Randolph Bowman. My guest today is flutist Dr. Joanna Cowan-White. She is professor of flute at the CMU School of Music. Thanks for joining me for Listen to This today.
I'm glad to be here.
How did you come to play the flute, Joanna?
Well, in fourth grade, we got an opportunity to select an instrument, and I didn't. And my parents got wind of that, and they marched me up to meet with the music teacher, who asked me what I wanted to play, and I had no idea. But I said I liked the flutophone, which was the recorder-like instrument we played in third grade music class. So he suggested flute, but I was already behind the rest of the class at that point, and I almost gave up. But my dad showed me how to read the notes on the staff. And then in high school, I had an inspiring flute teacher, Janet Woodhams, in Berkeley. I grew up in the Bay Area in Northern California. So that helped also to study with her.
You know, so many folks that I talked to started in a public school music program. You know, I was in the fourth grade. I was in the fifth grade. It was time to choose an instrument. And actually, I wanted to play the flute too, but so did everybody else. And so they were out of flutes. So they said, here, how about this French horn?
That's great.
So yes, a lot of people wanted to play the flute, but I am so glad that you did and that you continued. And so are many, many other folks, including all of your wonderful students here at CMU.
Oh, well, I love my students. I think one of the reasons we all love the flute, I think our famous French flutist Marcel Moïse suggested that the flute can be as beautiful as the human voice, and I kind of agree with that. We also have so much great solo, chamber, and ensemble repertoire from Baroque to modern, and I think the reason I love to play, I love getting to make music with friends and colleagues, and I think the flute is particularly expressive of emotion.
Yes, yes. And as you play in ensembles, like you mentioned with the Debussy piece, that you really try to put yourself into that mood.
Right. We were talking about my chamber ensembles before, and it's been really a joy to make recordings with the groups. And one of my favorites is the Rosemont Renaissance Suite on Hidden Gems recording on Centaur Records. And I thought maybe it would be nice to listen to the second and third movements, J'ai pris amour and Il est belle et bon.
Okay, let's listen then to the Renaissance Suite performed by the Powers Woodwind Quintet, featuring my guest today, flutist Joanna Cowan-White. Renaissance Dances, featuring the Powers Woodwind Quintet, and my guest today, Dr. Joanna Cowan-White. She is professor of flute at the CMU School of Music. It's Listen to This here on Afternoon Classical here on WCMU. I'm Judy Wagley. Thanks for joining me today. Joanna, it's obvious that you love to play the flute. What are some of the challenges of playing the flute?
Oh, sure. It is particularly a challenge in a pandemic. There's the danger of aerosols, so you have to adapt and do things in new ways. I adore my students. They rose to the occasion. We had one of the things we got to do is we, in our studio class, we had guests from all over the country to our virtual studio class. And so we got to listen to topics like piccolo or opera or instrument repair or music and business, warm-ups. And then in exchange, I got to present all over the country too. So we tried to make the best of the situation.
Oh, yeah. That's a silver lining, pardon the pun there about the flute, but the silver lining. And, you know, I had heard that flutes were the biggest offenders as far as spreading aerosols, that they just catapulted out the end of the flute there.
It actually turned out, when they did the experiments, it turned out not to be the worst, but it's certainly a problem. So yeah, we had to adapt and wear flute masks and end covers. And so yeah, it really tricky. And of course we stayed far away from each other and did a lot of virtual performances as opposed to live, but hopefully things will get better.
Yes, but what about some of the challenges of playing the instrument?
Well, you certainly need to really know how to use your breath, and it's almost like being a singer to be a flutist. So you have to be really good with that aspect of playing. And really flutists work a lot on their tone and vibrato, the expressive nature of the tone. So I think that's maybe some of the challenges of playing a wind instrument.
When folks are listening to a flutist, and some people say flautist, but I say flutist.
I actually get asked that question all the time,
yes.
And both are correct. They just come from different languages.
Oh, that's good to know. But when folks are listening to someone who is playing the flute, what are they listening for?
I think they're listening for something that moves them, something that makes them get up and dance, or something that makes them sentimental, or something that they respond to. So it's not so much something technical, but they're listening for what gets through.
Who were some of your role models? You mentioned some very influential teachers. Who were some of your role models as a flutist?
I have so many. It's so different these days. When I was in school, everybody was listening to the same people and everybody had the same records. But now you can listen to people all over the world just by opening your computer and getting on the internet. And there's so many good recordings also. And so we just have so many people we can listen to. And I think that we're getting more diverse composers and more influences from all around the world and the people who are writing for the flute. And so it's pretty exciting. I have many favorites. I would say that my first moment, I think I decided I wanted to be able to do that. I heard my high school teacher, Janet Woodhams from Berkeley, California. She played a recital in a church up on a foggy hill, and she played the Poulenc Sonata. And I'm positive that's when I decided, not that I wanted to be a professional flute player, but I decided I want to be able to do that. And I just always remember that. I know I was talking to you the other day and you said you had a Poulenc recording of Jean-Pierre Rampal, and that was one of my first records. So maybe we could listen to some of that Poulenc Sonata.
Yes, it is a beautiful piece of music, and I do have it, so let's listen. That was the Sonata for Flute and Piano by Francis Poulenc with the very famous flutist Jean-Pierre Rampal, and he was accompanied by pianist Robert Veron Lacroix. My guest today is Dr. Joanna Cowan-White. She is professor of flute at the CMU School of Music, and we're listening to music for flute and some of your favorites, Joanna. How about another favorite?
Okay, well, let's see. I'll mention maybe a couple more and you can choose. But I love to listen to my teachers. Leon Bicey was one of my teacher mentors. And I love this recording of her playing Samuel Barber's Canzone, which it's transcribed from his piano concerto. But she has a CD, Sky's the Limit. And I think this is a beautiful version of that. And then another favorite, I know Paula Robeson is one of my favorite artists to listen to, and she has a version of one of my favorite pieces for flute of all time. I always tell my students this is one of my favorite movements for flute anywhere, and it's from the Mozart Flute Quartet for flute, violin, viola, cello, and it's K285, the slow movement adagio. But the flute is like the singer in an aria, and then the strings are pizzicato, so it's plucked, and it almost sounds like a lute or guitar with the flute singing. And so I love this Paula Robeson version of that.
Well, let's listen to music by Samuel Barber and by Mozart, featuring Leon Bicey, and then featuring Paula Robeson. A movement from Mozart's Flute Quartet, K-285 featuring flutist Paula Robeson, and before that we heard the Canzone for Flute and Piano featuring Leon Bicey, that music by Samuel Barber. As suggested by my guest today, Dr. Joanna Cowan-White, professor of flute at the CMU School of Music. It's Listen to This on Afternoon Classical here on WCMU. Joanna, thanks so much again for taking the time for me today.
I'm so happy you invited me.
The flute is a beautiful instrument and so expressive and could go in so many different directions as far as moods and styles and, you know, the different genres, all of that. And it's such a beautiful instrument. And I love listening to you play and seeing you play, as I did back when we were still going to concerts at Staples Family Concert Hall. So I'm so looking forward to doing that again.
We are too.
One of the things that I know that you like to do is commission new music for the flute. Can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, in my duo, the Crescent Duo with Ken and White, clarinet, we like to commission music. One example, actually, two of our former CMU graduate students, flutist Gösta Checker and Ryan Ramsey on saxophone, when they were here, I was coaching them in a duo, and they were commissioning music. They live in Kansas City now, but they were commissioning some music from composer Roger Zehr. And the piece that they got for flute and saxophone was so amazing, called Reinventions. And I loved it on first hearing. And then later, the composer arranged it for flute and clarinet. So Kenan and I recorded it. Yeah, we recorded it on our recent Blue Griffin CD, Flute Clarinet Chronicles. And maybe we could listen to the third short movement, Groovy.
Oh, yes. It's called Groovy, and it is. So here's the Crescent Duo featuring Joanna Cowan-White and Kenan White. We'll listen to some groovy music by Roger Zehr. That was Groovy from Reinventions by Roger Zehr, featuring flutist Joanna Cowan-White and clarinetist Kenan White, the Crescent Duo. That
Thanks
was groovy.
That.
Yeah, it was fun.
We also commission music with our consortium, the Flute Clarinet Duos Consortium, which is a national group. It was started by Leon Bicey, who we listened to earlier, and her clarinetist husband, Michael Webster, along with some other duos. And one of the pieces we commissioned was Valerie Coleman's Portraits of Langston. Terrific recording with the brothers Damarian and Anthony McGill, with Mikhail on piano, and Mahershala Ali, the actor, narrating the poems of Langston Hughes. And I want to talk about that for a sec. I think maybe we could listen to some of the Parisian cabaret movement on their portrait CD. But I just want to say first that it's really an important piece for me, Valerie Coleman's portraits. I mean, she's an amazing composer who's got a lot of great stuff out there internationally right now.
She is a flutist too, isn't she?
She is. She's an incredible flutist. But when this piece was new, after the consortium commissioned it, we were going to perform it. And we got CMU poet and English professor Robert Fanning, who was new here at the time, to narrate the poems for us in a performance. And this was really important for me because I was inspired by that, and I started writing poetry again as I had in childhood. And I eventually took classes just one at a time over the years with Fanning and with Jeffrey Bean, and I couldn't stop writing and later even publishing poems. And we, as the Crescent Duo with singer Tracy Watson, who's on our faculty, we combined with these two poets and with many other people several years ago on our Poet is Muse CD on Centaur Records. I don't know if you have time to play an example. Maybe one example would be Provincetown August by Marilyn Beery, based on a poem by Detroit poet Terry Blackhawk. And the reason I suggest that one is just because the poems are woven into the piece. But anyway, a major thrill of my lifetime is that I have a poetry book due out this year with Salmon Poetry in Ireland.
Oh, wow. That is so great. Multi-talented. But it's all connected, isn't it? The music, the poetry, the art that you do. I know that you are also a very fine visual artist. It's so inspiring.
I wouldn't say that.
It's so inspiring how it really is all connected.
It's so connected. And I've discovered that recently, this whole thing about finding different ways to communicate. I hadn't thought to mention, but I did have a problem a few years ago that strikes many musicians' vocal dystonia that makes it difficult to play. And I've worked through that problem and was able to get back to playing as well as before. But during that time, the exploration of other ways of communicating was really important to me.
Oh, yes. Wow, that really is inspiring, Joanna. Thank you so much for that.
Sure.
So as a flutist and as someone who loves what they do, not only the musical aspect of it, but the poetry and the art and the expression and everything, if there was someone who was interested in playing the flute, maybe a young person or maybe a not so young person who was interested in playing the flute, what would be your elevator pitch to them?
Well, I think maybe it's that with a flute, you get to play in any genre and any time period, classical, jazz, pop, whatever. I remember when I was in high school, the first jazz flutist I really listened to was Hubert Laws, and I had his jazz record inspired by Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet. So it was taking a classical piece and making it into jazz. And small coincidence, I believe that Hubert Laws and I, in different decades, shared one teacher, who's Detroit symphony flutist Clement Barone.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I think what really inspires me is just the pure expressivity of the flute. And I'm thinking of an example, a recent example. I know we can't play it today because it's a Library of Congress video, but people could look it up. It's the Library of Congress had a pandemic project, the Boccaccio project, and they commissioned 10 composers to write pieces that were all about connection in this strange time of separation and distancing. And one of the pieces was written by flutist composer Allison Loggins Hull, Have and Hold, and it's performed in the Library of Congress catalog. It's performed by Natalie Joachin, who performs Have and Hold, but the flutist also sings, and somehow that speaks to me in this crazy time.
She plays and then sings and plays and sings. I've watched the video. It is very beautiful. And again, it's all connected, all of the different art forms, all of the different ways to express ourselves.
It really is.
Joanna, anything else you'd like to add today for our listeners on Listen to This?
I just want to thank you for having me and letting me explore a little bit about the instrument that I love so much.
And thank you for choosing the flute in the fourth grade, and to your dad for teaching you how to read music and for continuing on through high school and through college and all of the practicing and all of the auditions and all of the training and everything that you've had to do to become the fabulous flute player that you are, and for all that you do for the students here at CMU, and for bringing new music for flute and more into the world, and not to mention the poetry and the artwork too. Wow, you are an inspiration. Thank you so much.
I just really appreciate your being so great in working with us all to bring music to people. So thank you so very much.
Oh, it is my honor and my privilege. Thanks again.
Absolutely.